Well, good morning, everybody. Wish to greet you all in Jesus' name. I find it a little bit difficult to talk to a phone. I usually have someone, if I'm talking on a phone, over on the other side of the phone that we can communicate with. But I guess I'll just pretend this is a one-sided phone conversation and just try to communicate with you this way. These sure are quite the interesting times that we're living in. And I just hope that things can come to a resolution soon and that we can start meeting again. There's, I suppose, nothing like not having something that you once had to make you appreciate what you used to have. And so we're very keenly aware of the fact that we can't assemble, and it makes us appreciate that. Makes us appreciate our assembly more than ever, I think. So let's pray and hope that we can assemble sometime soon again. So I want to invite your attention to Isaiah chapter 40. Now, the other evenings, we had a school board meeting, and Steve asked me to share, and I shared out of Isaiah 40. At the school board meeting, so those of you who were there might have to bear with me. I just couldn't quite get over the message of this passage. So I want to read Isaiah chapter 40. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, and that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. The crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The voice said, cry, and he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, and the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. O Zion that bringeth good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem that bringeth good tidings, lift up the voice with strength, lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with his strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heavens with a span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance? Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him? And who taught him the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations or as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing, and Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beasts thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him as less than nothing, and vanity. To whom then will ye liken God? Or what likeness will ye compare unto him? The workman melteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold, and casteth silver chains. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooseth a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to repair a graven image that shall not be moved. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent for to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted, yea, they shall not be sown, yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth, and he shall blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number, and calleth them all by the names, by the greatness of his might. For that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, My way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So at the beginning of the passage, we have a prophecy of John the Baptist. And the thing that he was going to preach, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. And he says, the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, and that God himself hath spoken it. And then it says there's a voice, and I'm not sure whose voice this is. Is this a voice of John the Baptist that said cry, or is this John the Baptist replying? I'm not sure. But this is what was supposed to be said. This is what this one that was crying was going to cry. All flesh, it says, grass. He tells us about the frailty of humanity. You know, there's grass and there's flowers, and we like them in our yard and in our flower beds. But they sure aren't very sustainable. They sure don't last long. If we can keep a flower over the summer, at least around here, we think we're doing pretty good. Reminds us of Psalm chapter 90, the Psalm of Moses, Psalm 90, verse 5, where it says, Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as a sleep in the morning. They are like the grass, which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth, and it groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. So Moses saw grass as something that just lasts a day. We think of grass as something that lasts a season, but Moses' grass just lasted a day. So we're supposed to contrast us and how that we last just a day or just a season with God. Verse 8 says, The word of our God shall stand forever. Now forever just about can't be compared to a day or to a season. And that's the comparison between us and God. And verse 9 addresses us. As the people of God, O Zion that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice and thy strength. Lift it up and be not afraid. And say unto the cities of Judah, Behold your God. So here is this man that was crying, is telling us as the people of God to tell the people around us to behold your God. And so there's a description of God. Behold, the Lord God will come with a strong hand. This is what God is like. This is the first attribute of God that we see here. He is strong. In Revelation 19, we have a description of a heavenly military parade where we see Jesus riding across the heavens on his white horse, and the armies are following him. You know, a couple years ago, Trump wanted to have a military parade down in Washington. It's kind of a tradition that the nations of the world have if they want to show off their strength and their pride, is they have a military parade. They will bring out their tanks and their missiles and their armies, and they will march them down the city's streets, and they show off their strength. Well, now here in Revelation 19, we have a heavenly military parade that it's the greatest display of strength ever known to man or angels. This is what God is like. God will come with his strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him, and his reward is with him, and his work is before him. In Revelation 19, I should read that part of that passage. I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. In righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes are as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That is a picture of Jesus coming in judgment. It says that his reward is with him and his work is before him. Reminds us of the words in Revelation 22, verse 12, where it says, Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. That's a picture of Jesus, of God in his strength. So we have this picture of this heavenly warrior, but this heavenly warrior is our shepherd. It says he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. There is no greater safety to be found anywhere than in the arms of this mighty warrior who is our shepherd. He has the fondness of a shepherd for his little lambs. He cares for his young. He carries them next to his heart. He takes special gentle care of the expectant and the nursing mothers. This is this mighty judge and ruler and warrior who is our shepherd. And then the prophet turns and asks us a list of questions. Questions that we really can't answer except by acknowledging his almighty strength, his ever and his all-encompassing presence, and his infinite wisdom. And he goes on and compares God to the nations of the world. Think with me for a moment on the strength of the ancient armies, perhaps of Babylon, of Persia, of Greece, and of Rome, those four ancient civilizations that Nebuchadnezzar saw in his dream. They all had their day, and just like in that dream that King Nebuchadnezzar had, they were all destroyed by the coming of the kingdom, which has since grown and has filled the earth. And God's people and God's kingdom is everywhere, but of those old kingdoms, there's not a trace. There is only dust driven away by the wind. Think of Charlemagne and his Holy Roman Empire. Think of the Aztecs and their empire. Think of the British Empire on which the sun never set. Think of the German army in the early 1940s. Think of the power of the atomic drum, of the atomic bombs that were dropped by the Americans on Japan. Think of the ingenuity of the smartest engineers in the world. Think of airplanes and rockets and submarines and computers. Roll all of this together and you can't even wet the bottom of the bucket, like it says in verse 15. In fact, they're a nuisance and you just kind of blow them off so that the scales can be accurate. In fact, they're not even that much. The best way to describe the power of the nations in comparison to God is with negative numbers. They are less than nothing. To whom then will you liken God, or what likeness will you compare unto him? And he talks about how foolish and ignorant it is to try to worship God by representing him as a figure of something. That's what the goldsmith does. And that's what the man that is impoverished does. But you simply can't reduce God enough to represent him by a likeness of something. Verse 21 asks the question again, have you not known? Have you not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning of the... And have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? Sorry, let me read that again. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? God sits on the circle of the earth. It is he who encompasses the universe. It is he who has created the heavens, and that's where he dwells. He is the one who brings the vast and powerful rulers of earth to nothing, and he makes the wise judge vain and foolish. He brings the wisdom of the world to naught, as Paul writes. These wise and powerful men, if we can even think of them in this way, will all go away. Where is Nebuchadnezzar? Where is Cyrus the Great or Alexander the Great? Or where is Nero or any of the other Roman emperors? Where is Attila the Hun and Richard the Lionhearted? Where is Stalin or Hitler or Chairman Mao? Where is Churchill or where is Roosevelt? They were all here, but none of them are here anymore. God's whirlwind blew upon them, and they all withered and blew away like stubble. To whom then will you liken me? Verse 25 asks. Or shall I be equal? Saith the Holy One. Now look around and behold your God. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things, and bringeth out their hosts by number. He calleth them all by the names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why would any of us think that we have any secrets? Why would any of us think that there are things that we think that are not known to him? Reminds us of Psalm 139, that if we take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there God's right hand shall find us. I'd like to read verse 28 to the end. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I think you would agree with me that the world's a different place than it was just a few weeks ago or a few months ago. Some people are fearful and afraid. Some people are rebellious. And some people are just tired of it and wish life would just go on as normal, if there is such a thing as normal anymore. All of us are asking questions. Your questions are probably different than mine are. Here's some of mine. I have a question about how we should respond to all these laws and restrictions. I have a question about when can we have church again? I have a question, when will the shutdowns be lifted? If Governor Wolf's orders stand, it looks to me like it's going to be a long, long time yet. So I would question, were these shutdowns even necessary? There's nations in the world that didn't. I would question if some of the liberties that we enjoyed for so long, are they gone forever? I would question if perhaps sometime soon we're going to have to choose between obeying God or obeying man. I'm sure your questions are different than mine. Your situation in life is different than mine. And I can't give you direct answers to the questions that you may have, and I don't even have direct answers for the questions that I have. But I can only point you to the one who has the answers. I can only point you to where you will find the answers to your questions. Verse 31 talks about waiting upon the Lord. To wait on God doesn't mean that we just sit back and do nothing, that we are just idle. To wait on Him means to be ready to go when He comes. It means to be prepared to obey His commandment. It's just as you would tell a child or somebody like that to wait. And then when I come, then we can do this. And that's what God is telling us. It means to be prepared to obey His command. There's something of discipleship in waiting on Him. It is those who are waiting to hear and obey His voice and to follow Him that the promise of strength is given. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6 talk about acknowledging God in all our ways, and He will direct our paths. So the promise of renewed strength, and the promise to be lifted on eagle's wings, and the promise of being able to run without getting tired and to walk without getting weary are given to those who wait. To wait means to be ready to go when He comes. It means to be prepared to obey. Lamentations 3, verse 25 says, "The Lord is good to them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him." God's goodness will give us answers to our questions. God's goodness will give us strength when we're tired. God's goodness will give power to the immobile and the fainting. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the strong young men shall utterly fall. But to the one who waits, the promise is given to mount on wings as eagles. So God bless you all. I would just ask, let's especially pray for each other in this time. Perhaps now more than ever before, we need to pray for each other. Seems we can't communicate so well. We don't see each other. We don't gather for a time of exhortation and teaching and prayer and worship and singing together. But we can still pray for each other. Pray that God would give us wisdom and direct us to know how we should relate to all of these things that are coming our way. Pray especially that God will give us wisdom to know when we should start meeting again. There's a lot of questions surrounding that and what all the legal aspects are. Pray that God would give us wisdom. So perhaps one of the good things that may come out of this is a renewed appreciation for the assembly of the saints. So I just wish you all the blessing and the peace of God.